May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. Good morning. It's lovely to be with you. Thank you so much for your welcome. And as Malcolm said, it's been a bit of a drive, a mission to get here this morning. My visit to you today happens to fall on a time when I've had to do not one but 15 radio interviews between 6:30 and 8:30 this morning, and then jump in the car and navigate across the closed roads of Buckinghamshire to Great Lissenden. But it's lovely to be here, and thank you so much for your welcome. I'm really sorry I wasn't able to come a few weeks ago to your science festival, which sounded absolutely fantastic, but this invitation arose out of me not being able to come, and we thought it would be good to be better late than never, as it were, and come and share about faith and science, and so I can hear a bit about what you've been doing as well. I'm going to talk for a few minutes, but I'd love to hear your questions and reflections as well. So it's going to be a bit of an interactive sermon. Don't feel you have to say anything. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. If you want to nod off during the sermon, that's fine. I'm not going to quiz you on it. But there'll be a roving mic and a chance to ask questions if you'd like to do so, just for a few minutes, and then some more dialogue at the end. I'm not a scientist, but I've been drawn, for various reasons, into the areas of faith and science, particularly over the last 5 or 6 years. And last year I received a very interesting invitation to help set up and chair the Anglican Communion's New Science Commission, which is a global commission of scientists from different continents and cultures and bishops from different places, trying to help over the next 10 years, God willing, the whole Anglican Communion take a more positive approach to the interaction of science and faith. So that's part of the background. But if I can just share a little bit, arising from our three readings, of three of the many reasons why I think this dialogue between the Christian faith and the sciences is really, really important in the present moment. The first reason is, I think, where we started our service in that wonderful hymn of St. Francis, where the observation of the natural world and all that science tells us actually fuels our faith and worship. As we look at the natural world in all its glory, which is where science begins, we are actually inspired to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus directs our attention in the Sermon on the Mount, in our Gospel reading, to the birds of the air, to the lilies of the field, to the natural world in which we live. And the more science has advanced, the more we've known about the natural world and the universe, the more, I think, we're inspired to worship and praise God. No matter how far out you look in the universe and back in space, and we are beginning to see the first pictures from this extraordinary new telescope that's been launched millions of miles into space, the more you wonder at the glory of God, and the more you look at the tiny detail of the universe and at the ecology of the natural world and the way the world fits together, looking at a droplet of water under a microscope and seeing the myriad of diverse life forms in a tiny cubic meter of soil, the more we're inspired to worship and praise God. So often, science and faith over the last 100 years or so have been seen as on opposite sides. But actually, all that I learned from the sciences convinces me to wonder, really, at the glory of God and at creation. And we meet today on a significant day for the natural world as the COP27 conference begins in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt. People from all over the world are gathering, including many people of faith, coming together with those who are bringing the best insights of science to address the critical problem of our age of climate change. And we need the knowledge of science and the wisdom of faith to act together in that. And that brings us to our second reading and my second reason for taking the sciences seriously, is that the scientific worldview needs all the time to be nourished and fed by the insights of Christian faith and of the other faith and philosophical traditions. James speaks in that reading of wisdom before God. Wisdom in the Christian tradition is different from knowledge. Knowledge informs us, and we might turn that knowledge into the praise and glory of God. But wisdom helps us shape our lives and the lives of our communities in ways that are good and healthy. Science is giving tremendous power to humankind over the creation in the present moment. But all power has to be tempered and used wisely. One of the areas of science that I'm involved in my work in the House of Lords alongside climate change is the whole area of artificial intelligence and data ethics and the way in which technology is shaping people's lives. Sometimes that shaping is for good, and tremendous things are happening in the fields of medical research through the use of artificial intelligence, which I believe should be welcomed and embraced. But sometimes that shaping is to the immense detriment of people's lives. If I can give two examples, one of the pieces of legislation passing through Parliament at the moment is the Online Safety Bill, which is aiming to regulate the harmful effects of technology in the lives of children and young people particularly, but also whole communities. We need the wisdom of Christian faith to speak into those debates so that children's digital experience is positive and protected, and so that society is not harmed by the careless use of technology. Over the last few years, the capacity of artificial intelligence to drive weapons systems has accelerated. We've seen in Ukraine recently the tragic deployment of swarms of drones to destabilize the power grid and cause immense harm to civilians. We need to be very careful as the whole world in this new development in weaponry, because technology is moving ahead of our understanding of it and our capacity to regulate it. The United Nations has a campaign to limit the use of artificial intelligence in autonomous weapons, which I very much support. I believe we need to be raising that debate more publicly from the wisdom of our faith, speaking into the capacity of science. And the third area, and the third reason I believe science and faith are vital conversation partners, is because of all that we are discovering about what it means to be human through the current advances of science. I served for 2.5 years as a founding board member of the government's Centre for Data Ethics and Innovation, which was set up 4 years ago to help respond to some of these questions about the governance of new technologies. And I found myself sitting in rooms of parliamentarians and people from the technology industries and professors of different things and senior officials. And from time to time, people would come into those rooms and they would look at the bishop sitting quietly in the corner. And I could see what they were thinking. I could see their kind of thought bubble. What on earth are you doing here? And very, very occasionally, they would ask me the question. And what I would say in response was this, that most of the questions raised by artificial intelligence, now and in the future, turn around this question. What does it mean to be human? What is it to be a human being and a person? AI will raise all those questions for us the more it's used and deployed and answered. And how do we protect our humanity against the more damaging effects of these technologies? And the reason I'm in the room, I think, is because the Christian tradition and the Judeo-Christian tradition, which I'm part of, has been reflecting for 3,000 years now on that question of what it means to be human. Psalm 8, the heavens declare the glory of God. What is a human being? When I contemplate the whole world, I ask that question, who are we? And we dare to believe, as Christians, and we will say these words in a few minutes' time in the Creed, we dare to believe that Almighty God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, became a human person in Jesus. That is what we believe as we gather here this morning. Almighty God became a human person. And that one truth transforms our understanding of what it means to be a human being, made in the image of God, reflecting God's glory. So I think we have something to contribute to these debates and something important to say if we can find the confidence to say it in different ways. I hope that's helpful by way of introduction. I think that we've got a bit of time for some questions and reflections. And if there's stillness and silence, we'll move on to declare our faith in the Creed. There's going to be a roving mic, so if people want to put up their hands, you're welcome.
Slightly at a tangent, but the Church of England is trying to go carbon neutral by 2030, and yet we were turned down here for solar panels. How can the Church change its procedures so that things like that can happen more easily, please?
We're working on that, and there are conversations taking place nationally and taking place locally about that. And I personally believe we need to move rapidly, as I'm sure you do, on it, if we're to take the climate challenge seriously. But there are some things in the way that we need to sort out and conversations we need to have first. I'll try and give brief answers, and you might want to pick up later, so we can get more questions in.
Thank you, Bishop. Could you say a little bit more about how you feel? You touched on the fact that people of all faiths are working together in the scientific community. If you bring it closer to home, is there a way that people of all faiths could work together with some of the challenges we've got? I'm thinking about Manston and the impact on that man who made the decisions he made regarding the petrol bomb as a result of social media activity.
Yeah, thank you. There is, I'm sure there's lots more we could be doing, but there is good dialogue between the faiths on the climate issue we were just talking about and on social media and the online safety bill, which will be the focus for quite a lot of conversation around this recently. And there's a coalition of charities and organisations working together, of which I'm part, and there is much common ground between us. I think in general, the debates within some of the other faith communities are not as advanced on this, but we're constantly looking out for ways to draw people in and together. Thank you. I'm sure there'll be lots more we can talk about over coffee at the end of the service, but lovely to share this with you, Mark.